Thank you for tuning in to the Cerrito House of Worship. It is our hope and belief that God will speak to you through His Word today. He is able to do far more than you could ask or even imagine.
Good morning to everyone. Of course, we all know that, you know, this time of year we focus on being thankful. And of course, that should be a year round, right? Thankful to God for all that He is to us, even when we're going through our valleys, because He's with us, right? So thank you for being here. Thank you for walking this journey with us. And I'm going to read something out of Psalms right now. But one thing we're going to do in a little bit, we're going to come out to you, and we're going to put you on the spot.
Yeah, come on.
On the spot. It's training so that you guys feel comfortable coming up here whenever you grab that mic. But we're going to come up to you and for you to tell us just one thing that you are thankful for this year. And so be thinking about it as I read out of Psalm 100. And be thinking about what it is that that you are thankful for. And this is what we need to be after we get done with listening to your thankfulness and we go into worship today. This is what should be in your heart, okay? And it says, shout for joy to the Lord, all the earth. Worship the Lord with gladness. Come before Him with joyful songs. And know that the Lord is God. It is He who made us, and we are His. We are His people, the sheep of His pasture. Enter His gates with thanksgiving and His courts with praise. Give thanks to Him and praise His name. For the Lord is good, and His love endures forever. His faithfulness continues through all generations. We are thankful to our Lord God.
Thank you, Lord.
So when we go into worship today, come with a glad heart, come with praise, come with all you have to give to Him. He's the one we are thankful for. So what we're going to do now is I'm going to kind of concentrate on the left side of the building here. And where's my Abe? Okay, and Abe's going to be on the right-hand side. And we're going to take, I'm going to go up to you. So be thinking about, please raise your hand or else I'm just going to pick you out. And we'll do one here and we'll do one on that side. So here we go. Kathy is a first volunteer.
Victim. Grandbabies and great nieces.
Yay, see how easy that was? Okay, you do one over there.
I've got so many blessings that I just want to be thankful to the Lord for all of them. Thank you.
I recently had shingles in my eye, and I'm thankful for my vision.
Oh, all right.
I just want to take this time to thank all my brothers and sisters that have been so wonderful to me in the last few months. Supportive prayers and everything. God bless you all, and I love you all.
We got a little guy over here. What are you thankful for, Ben?
That I get to go to my Aunt Christie's house at Thanksgiving.
Hey, simple thank yous. That's what we need. Anybody?
I like to praise the Lord. It says to be thankful in all things. And I like to praise the Lord for family. I think for Thanksgiving, all my family is going to get together. So prayer that they'll see the love of Jesus.
I'm thankful because my two grandkids are here, Alexa and Armando, and because my uncle is here, Vicente, for the first time visiting with us.
I'd like to thank God for calling me out of the world. I used to play in the world, and I was supporting their debauchery. And He finally called me out.
Amen.
I'm so glad. Thank you, Lord.
I am thankful for my family, here in the church, but also I'm just so blessed by my little grandson, who's a mighty man of God.
Amen. My mom and my dad.
All right.
I'm thankful I just got a new granddaughter. So, great granddaughter.
So did I, the same one.
I'm grateful for healing this year.
I am grateful that God allowed me to make the journey from Texas to here. I am so, so thankful.
I'm thankful for my family.
I'm thankful for being at the Sarita House of Worship and my family and friends here. And I'm thankful for the freedom that we have here in the United States and for the love of God and his blessings on all of us.
I thank God for my beautiful family and this beautiful family that I have here now. Thank you, Jesus.
I'm thankful that God took pity on the United States. His hand is on us. And just for all the blessings that we have and the people that have come to Sarita House of Worship.
I'm thankful for the spiritual wisdom and understanding of revelation in getting to know my father in an intimate way. It's allowed me to learn to love in ways that I never even knew possible, a capacity that is just amazing. And so I'm grateful to know my father.
Amen. Thankful for my family and for all his promises.
Got one more on this side.
It's going to make you walk.
Somebody's wife.
I'm thankful for God's favor and blessing on my life as I look back and see everything that he's ordained, everything he's brought into my life, my husband, my son, my family, everything that he's lined up and all the ways that he's protected me from the world.
Man.
I'm thankful for her too, and my family. And you know, I want to say is like I'm thankful for this church. You're not just not the building, but the body of believers that are with us.
I want to be thankful for my son Victor and my dad Randy and my family, and for all my friends.
I want to thank God for bringing my husband Rick and me to Arizona. We are so thankful. We wanted to be in Arizona probably 20 years. So here we are finally. And for being in this church, we're very thankful.
I think every one of us is thankful for something, right? There's no way we can go throughout another year and not thank. Oh, we got another one? Okay, go for it.
Yeah, thank you, God, for giving me one more day to.
Hey, that's a good way of looking at life. I got one more day. Are we good? Well, oh, you, Gina. Oh, you're just waving. Okay, everybody had a chance to at least say something that's in your heart. And just like I said, I'm grateful for my wife. I'm grateful for my pastors, the worship team, everything that's in this church body. Not everyone can have it all. We have it all. And mostly, as I said earlier, grateful that God chose me, you know. And as we see, even as Marianne stated, there's something about freedom in the air at this time. There's a good thing going on. And yeah, we can see, you know, we have a new president. We have new people in that White House. But it's not just about them. there's an air that says God is doing something right now. There is something happening, and we need to be very, very attentive and not miss it. Okay? And it takes each one of us as a person, as an individual, to hear what God has for us, not only as an individual, but as a church body. So thank God that, you know, we have a new government, but remember that it's His government, it's His kingdom that we focus on. Okay? So where do we fit? Where do we fit? And that's only for you to go to Him and find out. So, as I mentioned earlier, Psalm 100, enter His gates with thanksgiving and His courts with praise, and give thanks to Him and praise His name. Amen. Let's go into worship.
So, while I was on vacation, my wife, first time since that kid's been born that we've been with just each other. We actually went to church before we came back, and it was actually Pastor and Rosie's son's church where he leads worship. And I guess it wasn't really like a revelation to me, but like maybe like a refreshing of my understanding of a certain thing. And it was just like talked about God and how He created us. But not only did He create us, He lives in us. And it became this thing where, you know, you think you're the temple of the Holy Spirit, you know that. But when you listen that He created you, He created a home. So it was this revelation of like that I'm not just like a creation just for no reason, right? It's like, but like He actually created a place where He could spend time with me. Because when I think about home, I really don't care so much about the building, just like church. But what is important to me is like my family, right? Because home could be just like my house where I live. It could be my mom's house. It could be relatives. And the thing I think about is like at home, there's a lot of times that are special that only we experience with each other. And the thing is God created us, and He created us to make that happen, right? So that He could spend that special amount of time. He could do something special with just you. And it's just overwhelming to think is like He loves me that much, and He loves everybody He created that much, that He wants you to be His dwelling place. So he wants to live in you, and He wants to spend time with you. He wants to share His love with you, His joy and His peace. And I just want to remind anybody who may have forgotten that, you know, it's such an amazing thing that you are created for that purpose too, to spend time with Him, because He loves you and He wants to share that with you.
Could you stop playing just for a bit? I felt the Lord was saying, listen. Just take a moment and listen. No coughing. I felt God was saying that He wants to open the eyes of your heart. He wants to open the ears of your heart. So as we just remain in silence, what do you hear? He speaks to us so many times, and we're so busy with the things of the day. And I felt that was the message I needed to bring to you this morning, is just open the eyes of your heart, open the ears of your heart, and you'll see what he's doing in your midst. Just take time. Sometimes that seems to be such a hard thing for all of us, given of our time. And even sometimes when we're worshiping here, it's like, just get into that place. And just as that last song was, we don't really have much to give except our hearts.
To follow what Abe was saying about how he created us because he wanted family. But more than that, he wants us to praise him, to honor him. This is giving him honor when we praise him, even when we don't even feel like it. When we just take that time to praise him and love him, it gives him great pleasure. So he took me to 104. And this is what he wants us to do. Enter his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. Be thankful to him and bless his name. For the Lord is good, his mercy is everlasting, and his truth endures to all generations. Yes, amen. He is good, is he not? Praise the Lord.
I've been fighting a battle lately, so I fight a battle with my emotions lately. It's very hard around the holidays, so I have a lot of trouble. But I know that God will just take those things away sometime. I just have to wait. But anyway, I wrote this last week, and I thought I'd share it with you. I'm a child of God. I have no need to fear, because I trust my Father, and he holds me very near. I trust his word through trials and gain wisdom through the years. Although the path's not easy, he wipes away my tears. He is intimately involved in everything I do. When I place him first, he will guide me through. So I must obey and serve him every day and seek him in the trying times to bow my knees and pray. For I am oh so thankful he sees my every need. Yes, I will keep upon his path and trust where it will lead.
During that song, Gratitude, there's a chorus or something in there. So come on, my soul, right? Don't you get shy on me. You know, we just went through an election, and we kind of got our way, right? But the word that the Lord's given me is momentum. We were all praying that the right person would be elected into office. We were all hoping and doing things that maybe we hadn't done before. Some of us may not have voted, but this time we made sure we went out and voted. But it's not about the election. It's about the moment, momentum of God's people continuing now. After something happens exciting and everything, then we seem to sit down and we relax. But we built up this momentum. It's not time to sit down and relax, because the Bible says we're in a race, and it says to finish your race well. And we're approaching the end, so it's time to build that emotion. I mean, that momentum and keep the inertia going. And the inertia is what is powerful. It's the power of the Holy Spirit, that inertia, keeping that going, keeping the praise and worship going, the prayer going for our leaders and for the country and for the world even, because we are of the kingdom of God, and the kingdom surrounds this world. It's not in the world, it surrounds the world. And that's what we need to do. So I encourage you to keep up the momentum. Thank you.
So just to going off of what Mr. Terry said about the race, there was a verse that I sent this morning to a new believer. He was baptized recently, and it just talks about the race that we go through, and it's not for a crown, or it's a crown, but it's not for like a medal. It's a different type of race that we, I wish I could find it. It was, I sent it to my kids, and I just told them to, you know, let me see if I can find it. Sorry, because it's going to bother me now if I don't. It's out of the Passion Translation, which I love after Pastor Henry had used the Passion Translation in one of his power verses. But it says, "Isn't it obvious that all runners on the racetrack keep on running to win, but only one receives the victor's prize? Yet each one of you must run the race to be victorious. A true athlete will be disciplined in every respect, practicing constant self-control in order to win a laurel wreath that quickly withers. But we run our race to win a victor's crown that will last forever." And that's out of 1 Corinthians 9:24.
Sometimes you gotta tell your soul what to do. Can you tell you that? Can you say amen to that? That soul that's within you, it's your mind, will, and your emotions. It wants to tell you things. Oh, you can't do that. You can't do that. But you know what? Sometimes you just gotta talk to it and say, come on, my soul. Don't get shy on me now. Amen. Get up and praise the Lord. Get up and praise the Lord. Hallelujah. You got to raise your hands. You know what? I'm going to put my hands in the air. Hallelujah. I'm going to worship God with all my heart and all my soul, because God is worth it. God is worth it. He is worthy to receive praise and glory and honor. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Sit quiet if you want. Stay there wherever you want, if you want. But I'll tell you, you will find something about worshiping God with all your heart. Letting Him know, God, hallelujah, do you see me, Father? Do you see what I'm doing? God, do you understand that I love you and I care about you? And there are things that, Father God, I know you're doing in my life, God. Hallelujah. I will worship you with all my heart. I will praise you, and I will thank you, Lord, with all that I have. In the name of Jesus, hallelujah. Come on, my soul.
Don't you get shy on me. Lift up your song. Cause you've got a lion inside of those songs.
Yeah, 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 yeah.
Get up and praise the Lord.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Come on.
Come on, my soul. Don't you get shy on me. Lift up your song. Cause you've got a lion.
Give God a praise offering. Tell Him you love Him. You know what? It wouldn't even hurt for you to jump a little bit right now. Just say, God, thank you. Come on, Kenny. Come on, Kenny. Jump with me, bro. Jump with me, bro. Come on, bro. Come on. Hallelujah. Woo-hoo. Come on. Thank you, brother. Thank you, brother. Come on. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We have a God that's worthy of all. It might look silly. It might look crazy. Didn't that feel good? That felt good, didn't it? Come on, bro. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. God's got great things for you. The body of Christ, he's got wonderful, wonderful things for you. He will always hold you. He will always keep you. He will always speak to you. If you listen, he'll speak. He has a place for you at the table. Is that right? He prepares a place for me in the presence of my enemies, that I might rejoice, that I might thank the Lord for all that I'm going through. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, man. Glory to God. Oh, let's give him one more praise. What do you say? One more time. Is he worthy? Yeah. Come on.
Don't you get shy on me.
Yeah. Start getting excited where you can't keep up. Come on, hallelujah. Just do this. Go like this. Everybody go like this. Come on, Lord. Point to somebody. Come on, point to them. I know it's impolite to point. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Yeah. Oh, come on, man. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Hey, you know, how many of you remember when David, you can be seated. Doesn't that feel good to worship God? I love to worship the King. Hallelujah. I love it, man. I love it when I worship with you guys, because the Bible says, you know, that God inhabits the praises of his people. And when we're all worshiping, can you sense the presence of God? Hallelujah. Can you sense him saying, oh, man, you know, I can have some more of that. Is that right? Is that okay? Ooh, hallelujah. How many like David? I mean, you know that David, King David, or before he was king, him and Saul had a little bit of a little, it wasn't so much David. Amen? It was more on Saul. Saul just could not stand David. Hated him enough to kill him, to try to kill him. Even though he knew that David, that God watched over David, he still allowed himself to push against him as hard as he could. So much so, if you guys remember, that David left after his last encounter with Saul, where David had gone into the camp and taken his spear and his water bottle, I guess it was, and shoved it in the ground. One of his men wanted to kill him, but he said, no, we're not going to do that. And he took his spear and he grabbed his water bottle or whatever it was, and he took it up on a mount and shoved it in the ground up there. And then he called for Saul, and Saul said, hey, man, David, you know, now I know that you're going to be king. Even though Saul was like, he had said those words, Saul still wanted to destroy him. So David knew then, he goes, I've got to go. How you know? Do you know where David went? He went to the Philistines, the enemies of God, the enemies of Israel. That's where he went. And he became friends with a king named, I think it was Achish, I think it was Achish, and he became friends with him. And Achish would ask David, "Where you been today?" "I went around and I've been attacking certain cities, king, and all for you, buddy." You know, and Achish says, "All right, man." Yeah. But David was actually attacking some Philistine cities, but Achish thought he was on his side, and David was an honest man. Kind of. Yeah, how many of you can believe that? King David was an honest man. Yeah, come on, man. Did everybody fall asleep already? No. Anyway, so David is living in a town called Ziklag. King Achish gave him a town called Ziklag. You and your men, your 300 boys, can stay here. And they were living in that town, and they were spending their time going out doing secret raids, if you will. But a time came that Saul and the Philistines decided they were going to have a battle. So the Philistines were getting ready. Saul was getting his army ready. And then David's, "Hey, I'm with the Philistines now." Isn't that weird? And he goes, so he goes up and he says, "Hey, king, we're here for you, man." And the king looks at him and says, "Nah, he goes, "Yeah, okay, David, thank you. You're going to be good. You're a mighty man." But the king's lords that lorded over the troops said, "No, we're not taking him. You can't take him." He goes, "Well, why not?" "Well, because this could be a good time for him to show his master how good of a fighter he is against the Philistines. And so we're not going to take him, king." So the king looks at David and he says, "You know, I'm sorry, David. You know what? I trust you, but you need to go back to Ziklag. Take your guys back to Ziklag." So when David, how many of you remember the story? When David gets back to Ziklag, it was attacked by another country. I can't remember who they were, but it was attacked, and they took all of their wives and their children and their belongings, and they took off. And when they got back, David's men, they wanted to kill David. They said, "It's all your fault, bro. We lost everything because of you." And David asked for an ephod. He said, "Hey, bring me an ephod." It was a covering that the priest would wear. And one of the men that was with his band was a priest. And he said, "Hey, bring me an ephod." And he asked the Lord, "Should I go after?" And the Lord told him, "Go, and you will recover everything." So David goes and he recovers everything. Isn't that cool? David was a man that would ask the Lord stuff. Well, it was a good thing he didn't go to that battle, because Saul did lose his life in that battle with the Philistines. Saul died in that battle. Saul's son Jonathan, whom David loved, died in that battle. And now Israel's looking for a king. Is that okay? Isn't that crazy? So now all the time is starting to come to the point where, David, from the time that Samuel anointed him with oil in front of all his brothers, to this time, it's been about 15 years. David in his heart said, "Well, the prophet came and anointed me king of Israel, but I'm living in the Philistines' land. I got my own little city called Ziklag. And, how am I going to be king of Israel?" Well, when Saul got killed, Israel started looking for David. And they called David, the Bible says that it was almost day by day that men were being added to the 300 men that David had. So check this. Check out this scripture. It's going to be like, better get my notes out. Be good. It's going to be in First Chronicles. First Chronicles chapter 12, verse 22. "For at that time, day by day, they came to David to help him until it was a great host, like the host of God." That's a big statement. How many of you know how many angels are in the kingdom of God? This is a bunch of folks, man. When you look at all the tribes, there's like 17,000, there's like 6,000, there's 9,000. All these thousands of men are finding David because they're saying, "Hey, you're going to be our king, bro." Isn't that cool? What God had promised, God was bringing to pass. Has God promised you anything? If he's promised you something, if you found a word in the word that you say, "I know God, excuse me, I know God is talking to me here. If you found a word that you hold on to that promise, because those promises will come to pass. So you say amen to that. God is good on keeping his promises. Aren't you glad? Aren't you glad?
Yeah.
Man, I'll tell you what I'm thankful for. I'm thankful that God is good at holding on to his promises. Amen? Oh, I'm thankful for my wife. I'm thankful for my children. I'm thankful that God saved me and showed me how to raise my children, his children. Can you say amen?
Amen.
I'm thankful that God has brought all of you to the house of the Lord.
Yes.
I'm thankful for all of you. I'm thankful for Pastor John and Stella. They have been just a rock for me when I needed help. They've continued to be that in my life, and I thank God for them. And I love you more than a brother. If I could give you hair, I'd give you hair. That's how much I love you, bro. He says, oh, stop it. Stop it. But God keeps his promises. And when he said, David, you're going to be king, here is David is starting to see this thing beginning to happen. He knows that Saul has passed away. He knows that Saul died in battle. He mourned for Saul, mourned for Jonathan. But yet he sees all these men being assembled to him. Isn't that crazy? There's another scripture I want you to look at. This is Chronicles 12, verse 38, says this. Give thanks. Oh, it says this. All these men of war that could keep rank came with a perfect heart to Hebron to make David king over all Israel. And all the rest also of Israel were of one heart to make David king. Do you know how we're saying that they were all of one heart to make him king? Do you know how hard that could be without the Lord? There could be all sorts of guys in Saul's army trying to become the king. There could have been all sorts of generals, I guess, that would try to replace Saul. But the scriptures are telling us that with one heart, all of Israel, it moved to David. Can you say amen to that? That is God, folks. That's the way God moves. Ooh, hallelujah. So they're making, I mean, they're showing up. And you would think that because things are now starting to happen, he wouldn't have any troubles. And amen? But I preached a couple of weeks ago about where David, all of a sudden the Philistines came into a certain valley. And as they came into the valley, David asked the Lord, what should I do? And the Lord told him, go against them, for you're going to win. You're going to defeat them. So David goes, and he listens to the Lord, and he goes, and he fights the battle. Boom. They win. Go back. And a few months later, the Philistines do the same thing in the same place. You would think that David might say, well, hey, no problem, God. I know how to do this. You did it the last time. We'll do it again the same way. He didn't. He went to the Lord, and he said, hey, Lord, how do I do this? The Philistines are coming. Should I go up against them? And the Lord said, yeah, no, don't go in front of them. Go up around the side and wait till you hear a sound in the going of the mulberry trees. And then when you hear that sound, go out because you are going to defeat them. That's exactly what David did. And David, now he's got these two battles down as the king of Israel. Ooh, God is doing something. God is establishing one man. A man after his own heart. Can you say amen to that? How many of you, your heart is after God? How many of you say, yeah, my heart's after God? But how many of you say, yeah, but sometimes I get a little distracted? Is that right? Come on, don't get distracted anymore. Is that okay? I'm speaking there because God has something so much for you. We need you in the house of the God. The body of Christ needs you. Please, 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 please don't get distracted. Don't be distracted. Focus on what God has for you. Can you say amen to that? Amen. Come on, man. Hallelujah. So after these battles, David, you know, he decides, you know what? I want, does anybody know where the Ark of God is? And he says, I want to bring the Ark of God into Jerusalem. Isn't that crazy? Isn't that good? God wants, David wants the presence of God. The visible, what they can look at and see, this is the presence of God. God dwells between the cherubims. The cherubims are the two angels that have got their wings over the mercy seat in this box, I guess you can call it. It's called the Ark of the Testimony of God. Do you guys know what was in there? In Hebrews, it tells us that number one, the manna was in there. You guys remember that? Yeah, there was a pot of manna sitting in there. There was the law, the Ten Commandments was in there. And then there was Aaron's rod, the one that blossomed and budded. Remember that? Where they said, hey, who's in charge? They put all their sticks in and covered them. And when they brought them out, Aaron's rod, his stick had blossomed and had flowers on it. Those three things were in the Ark of the Covenant. Above those three things was what they called was a mercy seat. And that's where they poured the blood on that mercy seat. You see, that mercy seat, when these two angels were over the mercy seat, if there was no blood there, they could look and they could see, well, there was a time when the people rejected the law of God. There's a time when they rejected his leadership. There's a time. When they rejected. The provision. Rebecca talked about it this morning. The manna. The pot of manna. There was a time when they rejected it. So these three things were in that ark. There were the sins of Israel, and the priest would pour blood on the mercy seat, and the angels, those cherubims could no longer see the sins. So before they would say, oh, wrath upon them when there was no blood. But when the blood was there, mercy, God, mercy, mercy on them. So David wants this box. Can you say amen? He wants it. He desires it with all his heart. So he sends his men. He says, you know what? Let's go find out where it's at. And it was in the house of Abinadab. And 1 Chronicles chapter 13, let's read these. I'm going to skip some of these verses, and you're going to see me skipping them because there's a lot of names and stuff in there, and I don't want to go through all that because I get tongue-tied. And verse 6 says, and David went up and all Israel to Bala, that is Kirjath-Jearim. See what I'm talking about? Yeah, which belongs to Judah, to bring up from there the ark of God, the Lord, that dwells between the cherubims, whose name is called on it. And they carried the ark of God in a new cart out of the house of Abinadab. And Uzzah and Ahio, I don't know, drove the cart. And David and all Israel played before God with all their might. Can you say amen? Amen. David was happy. He was a happy camper. Amen? He played before God with all their might and was singing with harps and with psalteries and with timbrels and with cymbals. And with trumpets. And when they came to the threshing floor of Chidon, Uzzah put forth his hand to hold the ark, for the oxen stumbled, and the anger of the Lord was kindled against Uzzah, and he smote him because he put his hand to the ark. And there he died before God. Isn't that crazy? Just because he's just, oh, it's going to fall, and he puts his hand to steady it. Boom, he gets hit. God, and David was displeased. Can I tell you that will mess up your worship time? Yeah. Yeah. David was displeased because the Lord had made a breach upon Uzzah. Wherefore, that place is called Per Uzzah unto this day. And David was afraid of God that day, saying, how shall I bring the ark of God home to me So David brought not the ark home to himself to the city of David, but he carried it aside to the house of Obed-Edom, the Gittite. And the ark of God remained with the family of Obed-Edom in his house 3 months. Everybody say 3 months. And the Lord blessed the house of Obed-Edom and all that he had. Isn't that cool? The presence of God will always bless you and your family, your household. Can you say amen to that?
Amen.
Your stuff, your gas card, your food card. The presence of God has, can I just say something? How many of you know that you're blessed? The word of God says that you are blessed. Blessed is the man that walks not in counsel of the ungodly. How many, if you're blessed, raise your hand. If you don't feel blessed, raise your hand. Let's everybody take their hands up. Let me just say something. You're either blessed or you're not. When God says you're blessed, you're blessed. Who cares what it looks like? He says you're blessed. Just believe it. Walk in it and watch it happen. Can you say amen? Because you're believing and you're trusting in the Lord. You might not have right now what you need, what you think you need, but you will have it because God says you're blessed and I'm going to bless you with it. Can you say amen? It's his promises, and God does keep his promises. How many thank God for that? Ooh, come on, man. And God's blessing Obed-Edom's house. Amen? David's going, what in the world did you do to us, God? What's going on? All I want is to want to bring that to Jerusalem. Come on, God. I like the part where it says that David said, how shall I bring up? Can you put that back again? Back it up just a little bit. Can you back up just? How shall I bring the ark of God home to me? Can I say that's a good question? Folks, again, don't be afraid to ask God for anything. Ask him, show me things, God. God, can you show me? Right now I'm in the middle of, my heart is finding out what God has to say about kingdom government. And I'm asking God, God, show me government. I need you to show me government. The Bible lists the government as part of the gifts of God, with the apostles, with the prophets, the teachers. And then it says there's helps in there. And then it says governments. And I'm saying, God, show me your government. Give a snot about how government works in the, you know, how they would tell me government works. I want to know how you want it to work. I want to know how you work. Can I give you just a little bit of something? My pastor used to say, you take a lot of rabbit trails, Henry. How many of you guys be like bunnies this morning? No? Okay, we won't tell you that. No, but I will tell you this. In one of the things he's talking to me about government, he says, did you know that government, that the anointing of government comes actually through people that know how to work business? Did you know that? Because I didn't know that. I'm looking at the word. I've asked him, God, show me government. And it says that there was a man came from a far country, and he came and he said, hey, I need to get 10 of you over here. And so he calls 10 of them, and gives them each, let's say, $1,000, all right? Gives them all $1,000. He's got $10,000. He gives 10 guys $1,000. And he tells them, occupy till I come. And then he says, put it to use. And then he takes off. And then he comes back after a long time. And folks, he's talking about himself. He comes back after a long time. And he calls these guys, and it only shows 3 of them in the scriptures. It doesn't show all 10, but it shows 3 of them. One of them says, Lord, I took your 1,000 and I made 10,000. And another one says, Lord, I took your 1,000 and I made 5,000. And then another one says, Lord, I knew that you're a harsh man. I know that you're really strict. So I hid. I put it in a napkin, I buried it, and I hid it, and here it is. And God said that God was, what I like about it was he tells the one that had the 10, he goes, hey, you made 10,000? Yeah. Out of my 1,000? Yeah. He says, all right. And he says this to him, be Lord over 10 cities. You see, government is happening. The other one, 5,000, said, below or over 5,000 cities. The one that hit his, he told his service, take that and give it to the guy that had 10. But they said, well, he don't need it. He's got 10. No. He says, no. He listened and he obeyed. He's going to have 11 cities. You see, government springs out of business. I didn't know that. You know that, Randy? It springs out of business. It's the business mind. It's how, there's some words in there that I looked up. I go, oh, I can't believe it. I feel like I need to show you. Let me see if I got them down here. I'm sorry. Some of you guys say, oh, man. The word for trading, because he told them, go and trade. That word is diapragmateo mei. How you like that? Dio pragmateo mei. Say it. Everybody say it with me. Ready? Dio pragmateo. Yeah. Yeah. That's the word for trading. The word for occupy is this. Pragmateo mei. Same word. Almost the same word. Occupy and trading. Occupy and trading. The word pragmateo mei, may I have whatever, comes from the word that we know as pragmatic. Does anybody know what pragmatic means? Pragmatic. This is what I got all fired up when it says dealing with things sensibly and realistically in a way that is based on the practical rather than theoretical considerations. Isn't that cool? I love it, man. But see, the thing is David asked him, how do I bring this thing up? I got no idea what to do. I mean, no, David wasn't a priest. David didn't know how to bring the ark back into Jerusalem, up into Jerusalem. I got to switch over again. Sorry. First Chronicles chapter 15, verses 1, 2, and 3 says this. And David made him houses in the city of David and prepared a place for the ark of God and pitched for it a tent, but he still didn't have it. Then David said, none ought to carry the ark of God but the Levites. For them has the Lord chosen to carry the ark and to minister unto him forever. And David gathered all Israel together to Jerusalem to bring up the ark of the Lord unto his place, which he had prepared for it. See, David asked the question. And somewhere, maybe in the midst of battle, when he says, hey, we're going to go over by the what kind of trees? What were they? The mulberry trees. Go over by the mulberry trees and wait. So while he was waiting, maybe God gave him the answer of how to get that thing back up in the edge. Because his heart is after God. And he asked God a question. Doesn't the word of God say, ask and it shall be given? Seek and you will find? Knock and it will be open to you? Are those just words? Or are those promises? Those are promises. Glory to God. First Chronicles 15, 11 through 14 says this. And David called for Zadok and Abiathar the priests, and for the Levites, for Uriel, Asaiah, Joel, Shemaiah, Eliel, and Aminadab, and said to them, you are the chief of the fathers of the Levites. Sanctify yourselves, both you and your brethren, that you may bring up the ark of the Lord of God of Israel unto the place that I have prepared for it. For because you did it not at the first. He's not assigning blame now, is he? Because you did it not at the first, but our God made a breach upon us for that we sought him not after the, everybody say due order. Due order. So the priests and the Levites sanctified themselves to bring up the ark of the Lord, God of Israel. Is that where it stops?
Yeah.
Thank you. And verses 25 through 29, I'm sorry. So David and the elders of Israel and the captains over thousands went to bring up the ark of the covenant of the Lord out of the house of Obed-Edom with joy. And it came to pass when God helped the Levites that bear the ark of the covenant of the Lord that they offered seven bullocks and seven rams. And David was clothed with a robe of fine linen, and the Levites that bear the ark and the singers and Chenaniah, we'll go with that, master of the song with the singers, David also had upon him an ephod of linen. Thus all Israel brought up the ark of the covenant of the Lord with shouting, amen? Shouting, and with the sound of the cornet, and with trumpets, and with cymbals, making a noise with psalteries and harps. And it came to pass, as the ark of the covenant of the Lord came into the city of David, that Michal, the daughter of Saul, looking out at a window, saw King David dancing and playing, and she despised him in her heart. Isn't that crazy? Doesn't say it in Chronicles, but she tells David, she goes, man, you played the fool before all the ladies in Israel. And God shut up her womb for that. Do you know that? Isn't that crazy? But here, David's rejoicing. But I want to talk to you about the due order. Due order, you know, I thought people were going to preach my sermon this morning. Can you put Psalm 100, verse 4 up there? Yeah, look at, here's what the Word of God says. This is just the Holy Ghost. He's trying to make a point this morning. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving, into his courts with praise. Be thankful to him and bless his name. Yeah, just say this. When David told the Levites, you didn't do it in the due order. You did it differently. You can't carry the ark on a new cart. It has to be carried by men. Is that right? Why is that, folks? Because he's signifying that the ark or the presence of God would be carried by men. You're carrying the presence of God. Do you know that? Yes. Can you say amen to that? Yes. That's what God has done for you. He's created a place in you for him. Is that right? Yes. God in your skin. Can you say amen to that? But no, I say it again. God in your skin. Amen? Yes. Amen. Come on. He's in you. Is that right? But he said, you didn't do it after the due order. And there, see, I will tell you, the scriptures give us a due order how to present. Put up Hebrews. Put up that Hebrew scripture I asked you for. Let us therefore come boldly, amen, to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Come boldly. But do you know the due order how to come in? You got to walk in thanksgiving. That's what the scriptures have taught us. Walk in with thanksgiving. Do you remember Joshua and his men when they went to fight against an army that was way over them in multitude? They prayed. They said, what are we going to do? What are we going to do? Can you say amen? They asked God, what do you want us to do, God? And God said, put out the singers. Send them singers out there first. Let them go out saying, praise the Lord. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Let them lead the battle. And I will tell you, folks, when you walk into the presence of God, there's no time to be going, well, God, you know what's going on. I've trusted you, Father. But God, it hurts me. And don't do that. The scriptures say, walk in with thanksgiving. It could be sometimes when you're hurting, it can be a sacrifice of praise. An offering of thanks to the Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. I told a friend of mine, I said, man, he was sick. I said, every morning, bro, as soon as you open your eyes, thank the Lord. Yes. Isn't that right, John?
Yes.
As soon as you open your eyes, say, God, thank you. Yes. What for? Doesn't matter. Thank you. Everything, your breath, your shoes, your blankets. Your wife. Yeah. Thank you, Lord. But there's a way to approach God that God says, this is the way I like it. Come with me with singing. Come with me with praise. Come to me rejoicing. Allow your spirit to connect with my spirit. Can you say amen to that? Hallelujah. You do that by rejoicing. Ooh, hallelujah. Mm. Everybody ready to go home? Psalm 107, verse 22 says this. Let them sacrifice the sacrifices of thanksgiving. That's a sacrifice. Remember David said, this is how I'm going to sacrifice. I'm going to raise my hands. I'm going to raise my hands to him. Let them sacrifice the sacrifices of thanksgiving and declare his works with what? Rejoicing. Is that right? Can you declare his promises with rejoicing? I will tell you, if you declare his promises over your problem rather than your problem, instead of your problem, you're going to find that joy begins to occupy you. You're going to find that something comes within you and you go, oh God. You know, I remember I was praying to God for a new car. We had a Pontiac station wagon. Big dog. You remember the old station wagons? Yeah. This was a big, it came into the garage. It had blown engine. And then my boss told me, he says, Henry, you got a family now. You want that car? I go, I guess, but it needs an engine. He goes, well, we'll find an engine for it. So we found an engine that was too small for it. So but it ran. It was better than what I had. Not much. Because it was a big car, had a little engine in it, and it used a lot of what? Gas. And I'm praying, I said, God, I need a car. We went to California in it one time. Yeah, that was pretty bold of us. And it made it all the way back, but man, we spent more money on gas than we did for anything else over there. But I said, Lord, I need a car. And I said this, well, I was praying, and my pastor heard me. I said, Lord, I need a car. But if you want me to keep this one, that's okay. And pastor said, hey, stop right there. You need to learn something about praying. You rejoice and you thank him for everything he's given you, and then let him know that you could use a new car. I said, okay. So I tried that. Same night, I said, okay, Lord, I need a new car. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. And man, all of a sudden, whew, I felt the presence of God just rising up. Woo! I got so excited. I said, God, if you don't give me another car, this is fine. I'd rather worship you and watch over my spirit as that it senses what you're saying to me. Yes. Woo, hallelujah. Well, guess what? God gave us another car. It was a nice car. It was a new car, not brand new, but it was used. But man, God gave us a car. And the guy that was trying to sell it to us, I told him, hey, you got to do this. And then he goes, no, the manager won't have that. He goes and tells the manager what I asked for. And the manager came back and he goes, yeah, give it to him. I asked for another thing and I said, hey, well, it doesn't have a stereo in it. It's just got a radio. Can you put that in there for me? He goes, I don't think so. This is too much car for you, man. You can't afford this car. Well, go ask him. So when he went to ask him, Rosie and I prayed. And while we were praying, the lights in the parking lot went out. It was time to close. So the guy comes out. He goes, I don't know, man. He's going to give it to you for what you want. He said, give it to you for everything you want, the payments and everything. He goes, I don't understand it. I've been doing this a long time. It doesn't work this way. I said, okay, well, we figured it out. We've got it. We're driving home in this nice little car. He says, bring it back on Monday so you can get the stereo and all that other stuff you asked for. We wanted a cruise control. So we're bringing it back on Monday, needed a cruise control. And they gave me a car to cruise around in. But I said, no, it's okay. It was right by the auto mall. I said, I'll just go over to the mall and wait for it. He said, be back by 4. I got back at 4, no car. So I'm standing there and I'm looking and I see this guy walking around. He walks around, he looks out and he's watching his guys and I figure he's the manager. But then when he's walking, my car pulled up. I go, oh, there's my car. And the guy, and he looks at the car and he turns and he looks at me. Are you waiting for that car? I go, yes, sir, I am. And he goes, can I talk to you a minute? I said, sure. So he takes me to his office and as we walk in, he closes the door. And the first thing he says to me is, you're a Christian, aren't you? I wasn't ready for that. I said, no. No, I didn't say that. He goes, you're a Christian, aren't you? I said, yeah, I am. I said, well, why? Well, what made you think that? No, I didn't say that. I just said, he goes, when my salesman came in and asked me about this car, I heard the Lord tell me, give it to him. Whatever he asked for, give it to him. Huh? Come on. I got all fired up. He goes, and when I saw the car come back in, I knew that I knew you were a Christian. I said, that's cool, man. You see, when you trust in the Lord, when you place him before everything, everything, can you say amen? Everything. Yes. You got to put him before everything. The Holy Spirit will lead you and guide you, and he'll bless your life. Can you say amen to that? Hallelujah. There's no other way to buy a car, folks. I tell you, man, there was no, I did not have any buyer, what's they call it, remorse? Buyer's remorse. It didn't happen. All I had was joy. That brother lit me up, man. That guy told me, he says, you know what? You know how I became manager of this? By that boy, listening to that voice. He goes, I would listen to that voice, and then all of a sudden, I'd sell like 30 cars. And then I'd hear it again. I sell another bunch of cars. They thought I was real good at this. He said, I'm just listening to the Lord. Isn't that crazy? You see, God knows business. He knows how to run things. Come on, hallelujah. Let them sacrifice the sacrifices of thanksgiving and declare his works with rejoicing. 1 Thessalonians, this is the last one. 5:18 says this. Can I get you all to stand? Just look at this scripture. If there's ever anything that we need to really understand, that God has a will. Is that right? He desires something. And when you look at this scripture, it says, in everything give thanks. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Very personal to you. In everything give thanks. In everything give thanks. Some of us are going to have family over the house this week. How many got family coming for Thanksgiving? How many are going to be going for Thanksgiving to family's house? I'm going to say some of us are like, and there's some family members that are contrary. Would that be okay? Say contrary to who we are. The most important thing, can I say this to you? As you walk into those places or as they walk into your house, give thanks. I'm gonna treat Pastor John like he's an enemy. No, or like, come here, bro. Come here. See, because we have a tendency, folks, sometimes to carry things on us, and God wants to clean us up, pure and simple. And when they come in, you got an outlaw, if you will, that everything you tell them, be quiet. You're just one of them Christian Bible thumpers or whatever, man. When they walk in, you walk up and you say, man, I love you, bro. I love you. You give them what God has given you, and then you thank them for coming to your home. You thank them for sharing a meal with you. If they brought food, thank them for their pie. But be a man or a woman of God and love on them and be thankful. And you watch what God does on this Thanksgiving. You watch what he'll do, because he will open doors that no man can open, and he'll close doors that no man can close. So we're going to pray for you. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Let's pray. Father, we thank you this morning for your word. We thank you, Lord. Father, we pray for your people, Lord, your children, Lord, that this Thanksgiving, Father God, they would be an anointed vessel of your love for those that walk into their homes or for wherever they go, Lord, that you would, Father God, show your kingdom and your glory through them, Lord, in their actions and how they love and how they speak. We thank you for it, Father. We praise you for it. We expect a mighty move within the hearts of our loved ones, Father. We thank you. In Jesus' name we pray for your grace. Amen. Amen.
Thank you for joining us today. Faith comes from hearing, and hearing through the Word of Christ. We encourage you to keep listening and keep reading the Word of God. You can connect with us at welcometotheshow.org to learn more about our church and how you can get involved. Until next week, God bless.